tempt your palate and they make the rounds on the town in a maximum limousine. You found the right radio show for a couple of guys who are in the know about the best places to go in the local scene. Chef and the Fat Man, Chef and the Fat Man. Why should you ever trust a cook that isn't portly? You found the right radio show for a couple of guys who are in the know about the best places to go in the local scene.
Welcome back, my friends. Chef and the Fat Man live with Chef Raghavan Iyer. I call him Rog, Chef Rogs, because I cannot call him Chef Dimples. I just doesn't work for me. But he's got an absolutely incredible book, Indian Cooking Unfolded. And it's the title is a very catchy title because it really sums up what the book's all about. And, Chef, when we last left you, you had your yellow peas cooking away.
The yellow peas cooking away, the potatoes were in there cooking, and I toasted those whole spices, and I ground them with a fresh tomato, and that's all back in the pot. And now the dish is done, so to give it a further flavor and a nice garnish component to it, I'm actually going to add some fresh cilantro. And if you think about this, you know, here is, to cut cilantro, it's very simple. I usually just slice that right about where it's twist-tied with a rubber band or what have you. You sort of fold your cilantro leaves, and then you take your knife and you start slicing it extremely thin. You can see how you've got a beautiful mince. And then if you want to run your knife through again.
Wow, you're faster than a food processor.
And it's less bowls to clean.
Oh, well, one can appreciate that for sure. Now, Chef, when you know, one of the interesting things is you can actually, if you have a sophisticated palate, you can actually tell what region and what state the culinary and the recipes came from just by the taste.
Just by the taste. And oftentimes, you know, because it is such a diverse country and you are seeing how the influence of different invasions brought into a particular style of cooking. You know, one of the things that people don't realize sometimes is one of the biggest culinary influences in India actually came from the Spanish and the Portuguese settlers, because in the early 16th century, they introduced Indians to the world of potatoes, tomatoes, and chilies.
I was going to ask you about that. You know, in Ireland, we've known about potatoes our whole life, but I never thought, until I saw it in this dish, I never equated potatoes with India.
And, you know, I mean, if I could change my name, it would be Raghavan O'Iyer.
Ah, now, there you go. Now, Chef, sucking up to the Fat Man is a beautiful thing right there. But that's very cool.
That's what the thing about a country like India, 6,000 years old, and over the years, it's been constantly invaded by foreign powers, and with each invasion came an influence. And so this is a country that has evolved over the years in what was considered classic. So the concept of fusion cooking in India has been in existence for 6,000 years.
So it's no big deal to you.
It's no big deal. So it's how we incorporate all of those elements, and our cuisine emerges. And so that's why when I go back to India every year, I take groups on food and cultural tours to India.
Can people actually sign? How do they sign up with you?
They just send me an email. Go to my website. It's my email is raghavan@raghavaniyer.com. Look me up on Facebook and follow me on Twitter or what have you, but I'm very accessible. And so when I put together the tours, I do tours that are open to the public, and I also do private tours. Somebody would say, you know, I've got four people or six people. Take me to India and show me India the way it should be shown, which is what I do.
But the way I learned it from my friend Peter at PCB Cigars, the best place on the on the Emerald Coast to buy cigars, got the nicest selection and quite a dominoes player. But Peter was telling me that one of the complexities about going to India is the languages are all over the place, and he truly cannot understand some of the languages that are spoken in some of the regions and in some of the states because it's a totally different. And you literally, not only are you a genius at culinary, but you're a pretty wizard at the spoken word.
I speak four of the Indian languages. Speak English, of course, and I speak French very fluently. I used to teach French for 3 years. So getting around India is never a problem because I still speak those languages fluently. So when people come with me to India and we go to these regions that, you know, people sometimes don't travel, it's not the most well-traveled touristic spots. But I take them off the beaten path and I have them eat foods that you won't find outside those provincial boundaries. And the flavors are very regional. Dishes that, you know, when you go to, for instance, Varanasi, which is where the Hindus cremate their bodies, a lot of times it's about cleansing your body and your soul. And the foods don't have a lot of spices to them at all. And it's very simple. I mean, in season, for instance, they do an amazing guava curry with fresh guavas, and they'll add pomegranates, and they will season it with maybe one or two spices that are not hot, and that is one of their classic dishes.
So heat isn't pervasive through all.
It's not, and it's a very, very misunderstood concept that all Indian food is hot, all Indian food is layered, all Indian food is complex, and it's not the case. So it is about some of the flavors are painfully simple. And to me, that's the beauty of the regional Indian cooking.
And you know, Chef Raghavan, we're talking, of course, to Chef Raghavan Iyer. I try not to use his last name because that brings him down to a regular chef level like we do Chef Eric Holdo. So, you know, we have Chef Raghavan here. And one of the great things, Chef, is that because of the complexity and the diversity of Indian cuisine, you've had an opportunity to work with Bon Appetit. And you have done a lot of training of chefs, and they have some very nice little restos in some very influential places.
It is, and it's one of my biggest clients, and I've always been, you know, considered a friend of Bon Appetit Management Company. I've been training their chefs over the last 6 years on Indian cooking and also on global vegan cooking, where I've conducted about 35 or so workshops around the country training them. And I've created, and they run, you know, high-end restaurants at cafes in Yahoo and eBay and so on. Lots of high corporate accounts, private museum accounts, education accounts. And so to see, and I've created about 150 recipes for them to use exclusively in their cafes. And you are starting to now see in the world of professional chefs, now they're awakening to the fact that there's this diversity when it comes to Indian food, and how do we learn and how do we address that? And so I come in as an educator. That's what I do. And so to me, to see the change happening is really beautiful to watch.
Will you do me a favor, though, Chef? I hope all 150 recipes aren't vegan.
I'm sorry?
I hope all 150 recipes aren't vegan.
Not at all. No. I taught global vegan cooking, but not. But no, that's a whole separate style altogether. But
I was concerned because I'm a carnivore. See these right here? They get used. Those incisors get used, man. I love meat. And one of the greatest dishes I ever had was curry goat. And the first place I ever had it was in an Indian restaurant, and I fell in love with it.
And, you know, and to me, that's the versatility of Indian food is Indian food is not always vegetarian as people think it is. In fact, especially along the coastal areas, they eat a lot of fish and seafood because it's available. Three large oceans, you know, you're going to eat a lot of fish and seafood. And to the landlocked areas in the upper central parts, they use a lot of, you know, red meats and so on, like lamb and goat and so on. So chicken, you know,
yes,
which is also. So it is. So I think you will really find that your inner carnivore is being appeased very regularly.
Well, and that warms the cockles of my heart. I must be from the northern regions of India.
You are.
In my second life. So how are the peas, the yellow peas coming?
The peas are done. We are, I've turned that off, and you got this nice, fantastic stew.
This is great. The smells in the kitchen. You know, sometimes smells can be a little overpowering and can be not as good to the nose. Like if you're using a lot of vinegars and things, so you know, you kind of vent them out. This is the kind of cooking where you don't want to vent it out. You want it to permeate throughout the house because I could imagine at Casa Jenkins, we could have a heck of a good-smelling house with this food.
We could. And the thing with spices, is, here's another pet peeve of mine. People say, you know, is Indian food spicy? To me, spicy equates well seasoned. It doesn't have anything to do with heat. Heat is a component of spice. And so is Indian food spicy? I hope so, absolutely. Is it hot? It depends on what region and what it is. So there's a very fine terminology there. So your peas are all ready to go. Great with rice, great with breads, great to eat as is as well.
And speaking of breads, when we come back, we're going to get working on one of the most famous breads, at least in this country. And in the northern part, was the northwestern part of India would be famous, but maybe not throughout. It is naan bread. It's all about food, all about fun, all about celebrating the incredible culinary, I guess you'd call it diversity, of Indian cooking with the ultimate Indian chef. He is Chef Raghavan Iyer. His book, Indian Cooking Unfolded, it's brand new. You got to check it out. It's an awesome cookbook. Chef and a Fat Man, where else? But right here at the Big Green Egg Retail Center, it couldn't get any better than that. Chef and a Fat Man taking it to the streets of Tucker, Georgia.